This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, July 24, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. After President Trump approved disaster relief for Michigan residents affected by April's severe weather, FEMA officials are warning residents to be aware of fraud and scams. WGVU's David Limbaugh has more.
Michigan is no exception to something horrible that happens where con artists try to get money from people when they're at their most vulnerable.
Daniel Bernardi is a public information officer with FEMA. He says thousands have applied for disaster relief through 8 FEMA offices across the state in the past few weeks, and all residents need to be wary as fraudulent activity typically increases after disasters.
We will always have identification, and survivors should feel empowered to ask for ID. Survivors should feel empowered to ask the housing inspector to provide the 9-digit registration number.
Bernardi says state and federal disaster workers will never ask for money and never require payment in any form, nor will they ask for your banking information. However, if a resident is approved for relief funds and selected the online mobile payment option, they can expect an email from no-reply@digitalpayouts.com.
And it just so happens that that portal does not use a .gov domain, but it is trusted.
If a resident is unsure whether something or someone representing FEMA is legitimate, they can call 1-800-621-3362. The deadline for filing is August 31st. I'm David Limbaugh.
Kent County's Plainfield Township is considering rezoning to address the regional housing crisis, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
When it comes to housing in Plainfield Township, what's available doesn't match what's needed. A 2022 master plan study showed single-family homes make up more than 75% of housing, yet less than 30% of households are families raising children. Planner Elizabeth Curcio says affordability isn't just about lowering home prices.
There's a large portion of our population that could be better suited to a different, potentially less expensive housing type, like an attached condo or a townhome, an accessory dwelling unit, even an apartment unit.
Planners are drafting ordinance updates, starting with allowing accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, in all residential zoning districts.
They are extremely in demand right now. Everyone wants one on their property, either to accommodate an additional rental stream, or their son or daughter, or aging mother-in-law.
But adding density comes with challenges.
The easy land has been developed, so we're in the process of retrofitting existing communities, existing neighborhoods, to try to accommodate more density.
Curcio acknowledges residents want to protect the character of existing neighborhoods, ensuring higher density units blend in. She notes the process is in the early stages, and the township will offer many opportunities for public input. I'm Dee Morrison.
Michigan voters will have the opportunity to cast their ballots for the August primary starting tomorrow. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
Michigan voters can cast their ballot for the August primary election starting Saturday, July 25th. Statewide early voting will run until Sunday, August 2nd. The Deputy Secretary of State, Akago Adebbi, says, quote, Michiganders don't have to wait for Election Day to vote in the primary, adding early voting is one of the convenient options available statewide, giving people the flexibility to vote on a day and time that works best for their schedule, end quote. Early in-person voting allows voters to directly insert their completed ballot into the tabulator, like the process of voting in person on Election Day. Voters can find the location and hours of operation of their early voting site at mi.gov/early voting. State officials also say eligible Michigan citizens can still register to vote in person at their city or township clerk's office up to 8 p.m. on Election Day, Tuesday, August 4th, with proof of residency. I'm Jennifer Moss.
In recognition of National Hire a Veteran Day on July 25th, WGVU's David Limbaugh spoke with a Grand Rapids veteran whose military background fuels his passion for providing compassionate in-home care for veterans.
Everything I learned about leadership, everything I learned about just the importance of putting others in front of ourselves and just having a sense of duty to do the best that you possibly can do.
Troy Turner is a 10-year U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran and co-owner of the Grand Rapids branch of Right at Home, providing in-home care for people people with special needs, including veterans. Turner also employs veterans who bring skills such as leadership, determination, and compassion to the work.
We're not important in the team and the mission that we have to accomplish. And our mission here is really important because we're taking care of other people who really, really need our help. So certainly veterans understand that.
Turner says the skills he learned during his years serving our country made him a more effective and compassionate leader and team member, and he would encourage any business owner to hire a veteran.
They don't need to be micromanaged. They just need to know what good looks like. And for the most part, you just need to step out of their way and let them get their work done and make sure that they have the resources and everything they need to get their work done.
You can learn more online at michigan.gov/MVAA. I'm David Limbaugh.
The Michigan Department of Natural Resources is increasing its presence at Grand Haven State Park as Coast Guard Festival kicks off this weekend, planning to avoid the rowdy behavior at previous events this summer. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Safety is a top priority for the Grand Haven Coast Guard Festival along Lake Michigan, and the Michigan Department of Natural Resources expects increased visits to the Grand Haven State Park for the 10-day event. The DNR is partnering with area law enforcement agencies, boosting the number of park staff, and outfitting conservation officers with body-worn cameras. In a statement, the DNR noted alcohol possession, marijuana use, and amplified music are not permitted at Grand Haven State Park. These behaviors have contributed to disruption and safety concerns during previous high attendance weekends. Any violation will result in enforcement action. That can include citations, removal from the park, or arrest, depending on the violation. Visitors are encouraged to review state park rules and regulations before arriving. The Grand Haven Coast Guard Festival runs through August 2nd. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. Newly signed Michigan laws would expand use of the state's emergency alert system. Colin Jackson has more.
A couple of the new laws expand Amber Alerts to cover all missing children believed to be in danger, including ones with special needs. Before now, Amber Alerts were reserved just for children suspected of being abducted. Meanwhile, another new law creates an alert system for missing older and vulnerable adults who could also be in danger. Supporters of the policy say the extra resources during an emergency could make all the difference in finding someone. The bills all received bipartisan support on their way through the legislature. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
A bipartisan state board meets Friday to decide if a question to limit the political influence of utilities and businesses with large government contracts qualifies for the November ballot. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The initiative would ban political donations by committees linked to utilities and firms that have contracts worth more than $250,000 a year. A business-backed organization has filed challenges to petitions gathered by Michiganders for Money Out of Politics. The challenges allege many of the signatures are false, duplicates, or not from registered voters. A random sample of signatures examined by state election officials determined the campaign has enough signatures, but with a very small cushion. Christy McGillivray is with Michiganders for Money Out of Politics.
They're not going to win. We know we have the signatures. This is the cheapest way for them to try and defeat us and keep the corrupt status quo going.
Whatever the board decides will almost certainly be challenged in court by the losing side. I'm Rick Pluta.
States will soon absorb more costs related to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. That's due to a bill passed last year by the Republican-controlled Congress. Andrew Racine is the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. He says food insecurity can have negative impacts on the health and well-being of children that last well into adulthood.
The fact of the matter is that one in five households in this country with a child is food insecure. And that's what food insecurity looks like to a practicing pediatrician, a family coming in and trying to make decisions about where to allocate their resources.
SNAP beneficiaries are also automatically eligible for other programs, including Medicaid and school lunch programs. Racine says losing SNAP could mean foregoing eligibility and benefits. Michigan lawmakers have set aside over $200 million for the upcoming changes in state costs for SNAP. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Motor City is a new crime revenge thriller that takes place in Detroit in the 1970s. Her Private Hell is a fantasy horror thriller, and Hadestown is a film adaptation of a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical. WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf talks with Zach Righetti from Studio C about those movies and more.
So, Zach, we have a Michigan-centric movie called Motor City, starring Alan Ritchson and Shailene Woodley. And before we opened the mic here, you were telling me that this is based in Michigan and Detroit, and it is from the 1970s.
Yeah, we're jumping into 1970s Detroit. Sort of this like amazing action revenge thriller. Alan Ritson plays this, you know, sort of ex-con who gets framed by, you know, essentially another ex-con, and who potentially even steals his girlfriend. And then they, you know, after getting out of wherever they were detained in, then it's just him sort of seeking revenge along everyone who's plotted against. But it's like all based in this gritty Detroit, sort of this, again, action thriller. I mean, it just looks like a fun, wild ride. Like, if you want like a good action flick, this is the one for you. And it seems like the performances are incredible. And the, like, I think just the action alone is going to be what sells this movie.
Also, we have Her Private Hell, and this is directed by Nicholas Vinding Refn, who was the director of a movie called Drive, which I really enjoyed, which had the feel of a more like a glorified B movie, and I mean that only in the positive sense. And so what are you hearing about Her Private Hell?
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. Drive is up there for me on the list. Ryan Gosling's in Drive as well. And I mean, and then Only God Forgives, also a great movie, and The Neon Demon. So, you know, that's sort of their repertoire. But yeah, it premiered at Cannes. It is sort of this like very similar to Drive and Only God Forgives, like this neo-noir, you know, sort of like mysterious thriller. Sophie Thatcher plays sort of this girl who lives in this, it's like futuristic city. There's this sort of mist that falls upon the city. And as it does, there's this serial killer known as like the Leather Man that starts sort of raging through this misted city. So like, it's like a perfect time to strike, all while she's sort of like trying to like locate and find her father and sort of dealing with a little bit of like family dynasty issues and even like her stepmom and things like that. And then it's all in parallel with this father who's essentially, he's a soldier on his own sort of odyssey, if you will, to like essentially rescue his daughter from hell, or at least that's what he assumes. And they're both of their paths sort of just collide along the way. So super like, I mean, if you've seen Drive, Only God Forgives, or Neon Demon, you know what you're kind of jumping into. It's again, this like neo-noir, it's got this like glowy neon sort of effect. It's coming from Neon, which is kind of funny, but it premiered at Cannes this year. And I think people pretty much really enjoyed it.
Now, I don't know if there's a connection into hell here, but there's another film that has a variation on the word hell. That's Hades Town, and this is a musical.
Yeah, it was a Hades Town was a production that got launched an off Broadway in 2016, and they've sort of made their way around the tour, hit Broadway, and then eventually landed in Broadway in 2019, West End in 2024, and so it's sort of really picked up over the past 10 years, and they recorded three of the live performances last year, February 28th and March 1st of 2025. They just recorded three straight performances. They've pieced that all together. And so this is like the recorded version of the Broadway production. And from what I know about this and what has been talked about to me in the office as well, like people love this Broadway production. And yes, it revolves around Hades and Penelope and things like that. And all the gods and sort of, you know, coming together in this musical. And again, from what I've heard, this is like, if you know about this production, you're probably going to end up going, or you probably already have tickets.
All right. So we're almost, we're a week into the Odyssey being on the big screen here, and Grand Rapids being one of just a handful of theaters, 40 worldwide, 25 in the United States. Although that might be 24 now, because I heard that one of the theaters broke down.
There's a couple that have gone down, I think, but they're trying to get them back up as fast as they can. But yeah, one of 25 in the world or in the country.
So how's it been here for Celebration Cinema?
It's been awesome. We've had such an amazing crowd of people come through the IMAX over the past week and a half here. And I mean, we're selling out shows. North's on a run of basically running 24 hours. We've got a 1:55 showtime in the morning. We've got a 6:45 the following, you know, same morning. And yeah, we've just extended the run through August 20th. And so, you know, if you haven't gotten tickets and you want to get tickets, now's the time. They're going to start selling pretty fast here. And so we're trying to make sure we can get as many showtimes in, give everyone an opportunity to come. But it's been so fun. We've got this really cool board in our IMAX gallery, which if you go see the movie in IMAX, make sure you, instead of walking down the stairs after the movie's over, walk up the stairs, and you can actually get into the IMAX gallery, see the film running on the platter, see everything. We've got a huge big glass that you can like just see into the booth, which is really cool. But we've got this map that lets people pin their odyssey, sort of like where they've traveled from. And because in Oppenheimer, the furthest we had heard someone come from was St. Louis. And that was like, that's a pretty far drive, but we've got people from, I think we're only missing like 6 states right now, where people haven't come from to see this movie here in Grand Rapids. And yeah, it's this like, why is it important to me is the cool organic feel of film and celluloid running through a projector. I mean, again, Christopher Nolan shot this movie entirely on IMAX 70 millimeter film. It's the first film to ever do that. So there's this sort of like raw artistry to it as it's fed through a projector by a projectionist, right? They have to make sure everything's right. We have to make sure everything runs smoothly through that system in the same way that, you know, all of the care that was taken into this movie. And this film is absolutely incredible. I've only thought about it for the past week. I have not stopped thinking about it. There's just so many good pieces to this. It's really an extraordinary film.
And when we talked last week, you had seen it twice. Have you seen it a third time yet?
I have seen it a third time. I am waiting to figure out when I can go again. I pretty much sit at home thinking about when I'm going to try and make it to go my fourth or even fifth time. But yeah, I think there's so many, just to get into more of that too, I think that just the writing behind, you know, Christopher Nolan did in the writing, the performances, like there's a lot of this like, set up and pay off throughout the film. There's, you know, I'm trying to walk around spoilers, but there's so many little like details and intricacies of these characters that he's created and how well he does it, like sort of grounding this mythical story in reality is just such a fun time. And it's literally all I've been thinking about.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us once again.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, July 24, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.